A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to take 10 for Talmud. Erevin Zion, Erevin 7a, pagination page 13. We're dealing with a topic that we addressed yesterday. The question of picking and choosing kulas and chumras between two shitas. So the example that was given was Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, and we mentioned in the beginning of today's daf that we did yesterday, as a continuation there from the facing page, we discussed that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, really, we ruled already like Beis Hillel, and that's the way we paskin. However, if there were to be a machlokas similar to that of Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, among the Amoraim, etc., then a person who would pick the Chumras would be classified as a ksil, a fool, and a person who would pick the kulas, the leniencies, would be considered a rasha, because he's picking and choosing, he's a wicked person, he's picking and choosing the leniencies. Now, the Gemara, continuing on today's daf, actually qualifies that, and even though it's true, a person should not be looking for chumras just for the sake of chumras, and a person shouldn't be looking for kulas just for the sake of kulas, but the actual meaning of the person who's a ksil, a fool, or the person who's a rasha, a wicked person, is limited, the actual statement is limited to a case where he is being self-contradictory. In other words, as the Gemara is going to explain, when the two opinions you're dealing with contradict each other, that would be this violation. Just to give a quick overview of what's happening in the Gemara, there's a case where we assess a human body, a cadaver, that's been damaged in some way, that doesn't have the entire body intact. If the entire body is intact, specifically the spine and the skull, so then it causes tumas ohel, the tuma, the impurity of ohel, of a tent. In other words, if a person comes in contact with a human bone, so once it is of substance, contact will cause impurity because it's from a dead body. We could actually qualify that even if it's not from a dead body, but a body part would cause impurity. If there is a significant amount of the body intact, so then not only does it cause tumah b'mago with touching, but it also causes tumah b'ohel simply by being under the same tent, under the same covering, in the same room, would cause tumah to the person who's together with this dead body. A similar machlokas, a similar discussion of how much has to be missing in order that it should not be an intact body, exists regarding the laws of kashrus. How much is missing from the spine? How many vertebrae have to be missing from the spine of an animal for it to be considered unhealthy and non-kosher? And that when you shecht it, you are not shechting a vibrant animal. The same shita, the same opinion, that says that one vertebrae would cause it not to be a complete person or animal, a complete body. So that same opinion, when it comes to the Tumas Ohel, the impurity case, telling me that it's not an intact body means that it does not cause impurity, which is a good thing, a lenient thing. Saying the same thing by a kosher question, saying that one vertebrae missing makes it not good, is going to be a chumra, a stringency, because the one vertebrae missing makes it non-kosher, because it's not a complete animal, a healthy animal. In contrast, if you follow the opinion of two vertebrae missing, so two vertebrae missing by Tuma is going to make it no longer an intact body. So then until it's two vertebrae, you still have to deal with the laws of Tuma. And that's a strict approach, because that means that at one vertebrae missing, it's still an intact body and causes Tumas Ohel. Consider the case of Kashrus with that same opinion. Until two vertebrae are missing, it's still... two vertebrae missing is going to make it not an intact body. Means that at one vertebrae, it's still an intact body and is going to be considered kosher. Which is a leniency. It's kosher. You're able to use it. Let's do the Gemara inside. Starting from about 13 lines from the top, at the end of a line, Rav Shizvi is talking, Ki lo avdinan kechumrei deveitrei, when do you not do the chumras of two different approaches, heichadasasri yahadadi, because they're contradicting themselves. Imagine you would purposely pick the one vertebrae, two vertebrae in the case where it's a chumra, and then flip to the other opinion in the case where it's a chumra. Kegon shedra v'gogolas, like the case of the spine and the skull, the tanan, as we learned. Hashedra v'agogolas shachasru, if you have the spine and skull that are missing something, v'kamach yisarim b'shedra, and how much is considered something missing by the spine, b'shamay yomrim shtei chul yosef v'shel yomrim chul ya'achas. B'shamay say two vertebrae have to be missing, b'shel say one vertebrae is missing, and it already changes its status. Skip a line, two lines. Ve'omer Rav Yehuda Mashmuel, and Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, ve'chein le'inyin treifa, and the same ruling applies in the laws of treif meat, meaning the laws of kashrus. But obviously it's the flip side, because what was good for you that made it not considered a body by Tuma is the exact thing you don't want to happen, that it should not be considered a healthy body by the laws of kosher. You're looking for a healthy animal that you, when you shecht it, you could be able to eat it. Aval heicha de lo sasu yahadadi, the Gemara maintains, but if it's a case where they don't contradict, avdinon, you would be allowed to pick and choose between the different authorities, because it's a different topic. And we do that all the time. Sometimes we paskin like the Shach, sometimes we paskin like the Taz, sometimes we paskin like the Ramah, sometimes we go with the Mishnah Berurah. They're different cases, so for sure we do pick and choose, and that explains the approach that we have, that indeed we don't always paskin like one Shita. The Gemara continues with a fascinating additional consideration, which is the case of suffik. When a person's not sure of something, how is he supposed to handle it? And we do have a principle, for example, of suffik de'oraisa l'chumra. If you have a doubt by a biblical thing, we generally go with the stringent approach. Again, within reason. There are times that we're lenient even on a biblical issue if there are enough opinions to back you up. But generally, we lean in the direction of chumra. Just to give a fascinating example, not intending it halacha lemaisa, but just as a fascinating example, I once asked a Rav in Lakewood if baby jars have to be toveled. In other words, you use up the baby food, you rinse it out, and you'd like to be able to use the baby jar for storage of food items in the future. Maybe blend your own baby food and put them in the same containers. So he told me a fascinating response. He told me that he holds that it's a definitive question whether you have to betovel them, because when they were sold, they were not owned in the store as clay su'uda, vessels of food. Instead, they were actually just containers, kli otzar. They're designated for storage. They're not kitchen-type utensils. In other words, in the mind of the person who's selling it, he's selling you baby food. He's not selling you a jar. The jar is there simply to hold the baby food, which is a product, which he's going to scan according to the barcode. It's almost like it's not even food in his mind. When it gets to you, it becomes a utensil. You spoon out, you spoon in, you're busy with it. So he said that there is reason to believe that perhaps it did not become klei seuda until it got to your possession. But this is it's a bit of a chiddush to say this. So he said that on the glass where tevila in a mikvah is derabbanan rabbinic, he says he's willing to rely on his innovative approach and say that it didn't become keli until your possession, and if it became a keli in your possession, you don't have to tevil it. It wasn't something that you bought from someone else that has to be upgraded to you. You created it. On the metal, however, he says, he wants to say that that's biblical, because metal are the items mentioned in the pasuk, different metal items. And therefore he says, on the metal cap, even though it's the glass with the cap, he says, on the metal cap, he wants to say that's a biblical issue, and therefore you have to rule stringently and not accept his innovative approach that would absolve you of mikvah. It's a great approach, because if you follow the approach, then the glass, which is the hardest to get clean and get the label off and rub it clean, he's telling you you could be absolved. On the metal cap, which is fairly easy to clean, a good rinse is fine. That's where he's telling you you have to do the mikvah and chatzitza issues and everything. It's like a very nice, innovative, thought-provoking ruling. And sometimes we do that, where biblical goes strict and rabbinic goes lenient. The case that I just want to mention from the Gemara is that Rabbi Akiva on Echad B'Shvat, on Rosh Chodesh Shvat, did Meiser, both according to the opinion of Beis Shammai and according to the Beis Hillel. We know the Mishnah that the new year starts for fruit, for Meiser, for tithing, according to Beis Shammai on Rosh Chodesh. So Rosh Chodesh being the first day of the new year, you would have to give Meiser in its way of the new year. And according to Beis Hillel, you're still on the old year until Tu B'Shvat, until the 15th. So Rabbi Akiva gave both types of Meiser, according to the old year and according to the new year. So the question is, that's an exact example of, you're not supposed to go like both opinions. L'chumra, you're supposed to follow an opinion. And the Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva, Gemara istapikle. Rabbi Akiva actually had a suffix, it was a doubt to him. He didn't have access, the Mishnayos were not yet codified. For lo yoda, he knew there was a machlokas, Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, but he didn't know, I Beis Hillel b'chad b'shvat omer, or b'chamesa b'shvat omer. He's trying to follow Beis Hillel, but he wasn't sure which one was Beis Hillel. And at that time, things, I guess, were still fluid, wasn't codified yet, so he was making sure to do like Beis Hillel, and he had to do both to make sure that he's doing like Beis Hillel, but he was not contradicting himself, he wasn't purposely doing like two opinions, he was making the effort to follow Beis Hillel. Yeshua Koach, have a great day.